the sun. Tell me what you do. Get crazy, have some fun. This is so hard. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I've got another bonus episode for you here. I am on the road. Just a quick thing, real quick, and I'll mention this again at the end, but I want to thank everybody who voted for me at the Clorox thing. I made it through another week. They're doing the second Dad Challenge right now, so if you're depending on when you're listening to this, voting closes on March 25th, Sunday, just before midnight. So if you have time, please go and vote. There's a link on the dadpodcast.com. So thank you again for that. But this is a little sit-down conversation I had with Gina Paris, who's a marriage sex expert. I go into the whole story of how I met her, and it was a really fun episode. I hope this helps somebody. Again, I know we don't get heavy-handed on the show, and that's not really the intent, and I hope it doesn't come across that way at all. But I really wanted to talk to her because of the reaction I got from the solo episode, and I thought maybe this could, you know, help some people out. And she's a delight. You guys will love her. So enjoy. All right, so we're here. I am in Omaha, Nebraska, and I am talking to Gina Paris, who I believe is somewhere in Tennessee. Am I correct?
That's right. That's right. South of Nashville.
And so here's the, a lot of you have responded to my solo episode where I talked about kind of like my issues with feeling like I don't have a relationship, you know, with my wife. A long, long, I don't know if you know this, Gina, but a long yes. time ago, a wonderful lady who named Rochelle Vituris. I might be pronouncing her last name wrong.
Yeah. But
I was doing podcasts with her, with like Project Greenhouse and stuff. She does PR for a sustainable architecture firm that was based out of LA. And I would do like every quarter. I need to contact her. But anyway, so I did a couple episodes. She's like, you know who I think you would love? She goes, you get my friend Gina Paris. I'm sure she would love to be on your podcast. I'd love to get you guys connected. And this is at least 2 years ago, at least. And so I signed up for your like newsletter or whatever, and things didn't line up where I couldn't have a consistent schedule and all this stuff to where I was like, oh, let's find a guest, which now makes me laugh after the story of what it took just to make this happen, how much I botched that up. But anyway, so after this episode and the kind of the response that I got back from people, I was like, well, what a great time to have her on the show to kind of talk about. She's I would consider you to be a marriage and sex expert. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I actually kind of like even putting them together, you know, sex and marriage.
Right. Yeah, they go hand in hand. And one of the interesting concepts that I like about what you say, too, and I don't know if it's just because I'm a guy, but you kind of talk about this idea of having sex with your partner, even if you're not in the mood, which I think is incredibly interesting. Would you like to go off on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, because I'm kind of the not in the mood girl. You know, all these other girls, all these other women that blog about sex and marriage, they're like always in the mood or something. And I'm thinking,
really?
The first, I know.
You seem to be the normal. Like that's to me, you seem to be the age old battle is that there's always the horny dude and the girl's like, get away from me. Like that seems to be the age old marital fight, you know?
I know, but it's really actually depressing because I think I'm Italian, for God's sake. I was supposed to come equipped with a sex drive. Hello.
Roman blood flowing through these veins. You're supposed to say things like, my loins are on fire for you.
I'm on fire, baby.
You're supposed to be eating each other grapes. And
that's right. And so it actually was, it's funny now because we kind of got through it. We drastically got through it. But for the first 14 years, it was really a problem. Like every fight was about sex, and because we just didn't have enough. And when we did, I was apparently like acting like it was mercy sex or something. and so I one day just turned it around with this wild technique that I teach on some of my products, and it changed my life. And so it actually formed the basis for my whole peak performance coaching, what I do with athletes and people under a lot of pressure. But I didn't dare talk about the sexual part of it for years. because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, plus I work with baseball players. I wasn't going to tell a whole dugout of D1 players, by the way, this transformed my sex drive. Yeah.
If you guys could get your hump on, I really think it'll get you out of your slump. You know what I mean?
Exactly. that's still not even, I still get embarrassed when they follow me on Twitter or the places that I share the really graphic stuff.
That's hilarious.
Like, hey, Mrs. Paris.
Because these are like college kids, I'm assuming, when you said Division I. Yeah, 20. That's hilarious. Well, one of the things we talked about on the show, my co-host Bill has mentioned that he had a friend who, for no apparent reason, just decided to start giving her husband sex whenever he wanted, like just making it happen kind of thing. And she said that she talked to him about how it was amazing how anything that she wanted done around the house was just done without her even having to mention it at all. Like, it has this weird, it's a funny thing to poke like fun at the simplicity of a man. But like, it really is a strong motivator, like being a man. Like, there are moments where I had friends notice. I'm like, man, my wife is great. And my best friend was like, did you by any chance have sex with your wife last night? I'm like, yeah, but that's unrelated. She's great. Okay. Yes, she is outstanding. It's not a proud moment for men by any means.
It's such a bonding thing. I would be so jealous of women who would say they could just do it. If you just really want to cheer him up, just have sex. I would think, I can't get aroused. How can I have sex?
Now, too prodding or poking or whatever, but like, what is it, do you think, or maybe you figured it out, obviously, but what was in that way? What was blocking you?
Oh, well, I didn't have any baggage like a lot of people do, but in what I've discovered is there's a block of just energy. Our energy gets stuck, gets blocked, and so we learn to just breathe. And I use this tapping technique where we tap on our these acupuncture targets. Kind of, it's getting pretty mainstream, you know, tap tap here and here, and we acknowledge this distressing emotion, and then the emotion goes away, and we're able to just become arousable and responsive. It's remarkable.
So am I right in my understanding that it really is just kind of because here's what I do as a guy. I've had moments where it's like, you know, as a guy, I always want it. You know, obviously, I'm always a big fan. You know, my wife has even said to me, like, we have the argument about where the next morning she'll do the thing where she's like, I kind of wanted you last night. I'm like, well, what? What? Who needs that information? Who needs to hear those words? I kind of let's completely dismiss the disclaimer of kind of. All right, let's just mow past that. You know what I mean? That I am mildly sexually attracted to my soulmate. I'll just move past that. You know, but let's also just say that in the morning after, like let's just on your way to work. It's not like we can have an afternoon delight either. You know what I mean? It's not like door is now open. It's by the way, you totally could have won the lottery last night. Like that.
brutal.
Exactly. And I'm like, who is this helping? And she's like, well, I put my toe on your calf, you know, like that, that kind of thing. Like, I go, let me tell you something. There is an appendage on my body that is a sure signal, and it is not my calf. All right. It's a little higher. It's a little more north. And I'm willing to guarantee any man, if you just go ahead, you don't even have to really grab or you just tap. Then it's, you know, then you're good to go.
Like, there's something that I have another show called Sexy Marriage Radio. People can find that if they want. Sexy Marriage Radio.
Yeah, it's a podcast iTunes, right?
Yeah, on iTunes.
Yeah.
And my children are off of school. The mailman is here. Tell him I'm busy. I'm not going to sign something.
I'm waiting on you.
Well, tell him I can't. I am busy.
You could go. You could go. You could go sign something. I could hit pause. It doesn't matter to me.
We can.
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
Hold on, I have a funny thought when
All right, so we're back. our listeners are very used to us getting interrupted by our children, but I want to let them in. Maybe I'll edit this out. I don't know, but just because I think it was funny is that it was a weird thing to be a dad, and I could see Gina trying. She's so professional. She's staying in the moment here, but I see her doing like a hand motion off to the side of the screen, and I go, I think she's trying to wave off her kids, and I go, oh, no. Luckily, she had headphones on, but I'm like, oh no, we're talking about sex. And I'm like,
I know. And I had this great point to make, which was utterly inappropriate in front of them. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Hit me with this point.
Because you're talking about the wives, you know, like, hey, you know, I kind of wanted you last night. So they just need very clear ground rules. So yes. If the husband is the higher desire spouse, then rule number one is that he approach his wife as if she's the most adventurous, spontaneous sexual creature on the planet. You know, just believe for really great results for your advances. You know, believe it's going to go well. And then if she rejects your advances, you just, you know, try again later and revert to rule number one. So it's all about not taking stuff personally. But the women and the men together can understand that for the gals, if she can make it hard, it's all hers.
I would agree. I would agree wholeheartedly. Just, it's not. It's, yeah. We've talked about that many times on the show. It's an interesting, simple problem that plagues almost every marriage out there. You know what I mean? There are people that everybody has their bumps, anything, but for the most, you know, but still they can have a sexy or a healthy sex life. But at the same time, there are people that are struggling. Like, you know, my situation was, and I don't think I'm necessarily out of the woods completely, but we struggle with being able to have an intimate relationship, even with it being not just sexual, just talking and stuff like that, because we have little kids. And much like you were dealing with your kids, it's kind of hard to have a conversation about any frustration because I'm at home with the kids. So I can't really lay that onto my wife. And then I start to get these weird, you know, feelings of being alone, you know what I mean? Which I think is a huge block, I would imagine. I don't know. If you're not in that, that doesn't feel very sexy to me. Then like I said, I'm living with I have a roommate that I raise kids with. Like it's super weird. But I want to go back actually, because you said that there was that. Then you go back to rule number one, but I don't think we covered rule number one. Can we go over that?
Yeah. Rule number one, approach your mate as if they're the most sexually adventurous person on the planet.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So rule number three is if it's hard, it's yours, right?
Yeah, if she can make it hard, it's all hers.
It's all hers. And number one is to approach like, I like that idea. I think I think that would, mine's different in that it's not like my wife is in the mood. More of my issue personally is that I kind of feel guilty because my wife gets no sleep, you know, with the little one.
That is tough. The baby's 9 months old.
Yeah. So he's not completely sleeping through the night and we both wake up. So we're both tired.
Sure.
But I know that and my wife is, you know, she's outstanding in this department because I go out on the road for like 5 days. And I didn't know this until I was a couple years into my stand-up career. But she would try to essentially, for lack of a better term, throw me a bone before I went out on the road. And I never knew this. And then one day she just wasn't feeling good. And she like rolled over and said, I'm really sorry. And I go, for what? And she was like, well, I usually try to, you know, have sex with you before you leave because I feel like it, you know, helps you a little bit. I was like, oh, well, thank you. But that's not your job. But thank you. Aww. That's incredible.
That's
you know?
Sweet. That's so sweet that you talk about it. Remarkably, a ton of couples just say nothing.
Isn't that weird? I grew up in a family, though. My family's a little weird. Like my parents, we used to have open conversations about sex at a dinner table type situation.
Yeah,
with my
your family's unique. I love your stories about your family. They're so funny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
A lot of my listeners are Christian. They wouldn't know what to
Yeah,
know.
They probably wouldn't be big
they
fans
think
of
I'm
that.
Crazy enough.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my mom does not fit into the stereotypical Christian family model of, you know, where, you know, my sister would be talking about her sex life at the table and we would joke about it and everything. And it was definitely unique. But, you know, I want to ask you something because it kind of came up as a joke on our show that my co-host is not a big fan. I wish he could have been here, but he was busy with his kids or whatever. But the whatever priorities. Have you heard of the concept of the five love languages and what is your opinion of them? Like, what do you because we did the test. Each of us did the test and we predominantly found, weirdly enough, that each of our love languages was touch. And my co-host's opinion is that he does not need a quiz to help fix his marriage, that if that's what it took, then you shouldn't be married at all. And I kind of disagree. Like, I'm like, why not try it? Why not throw a little insight, you know, and maybe it helps you a little bit. What are your opinions on the five love languages?
I think that is so interesting because so many people are really oblivious about being different from their spouse. Yeah. So that's cool that you and your spouse both like affection and physical touch. But for a lot of people, they absolutely don't feel loved because their spouse's language is different. And we tend to give it, you know, express love the way we want to receive
right.
love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's awesome. And the problem is, we can sort of run through them. I think the love language are physical touch,
yes.
quality time, yep. acts of service, gifts, and words of affirmation.
Yeah.
So I'm all about words of affirmation and quality time, I think. And my husband grew up where talk is real cheap. So I tell him, honey, in 22 years, you know, I play those 5 compliments you've given me over and over in my I really like those 5 nice things you said.
How interesting.
We'd been married several years when he said, but you know, to me, Gina, talk is cheap. You know, I grew up with a dad. I mean, his dad's a great guy, you know, kind of took a long way home, kind of. But my dad was always saying, I love you, but where the heck was he? So I think talk is cheap. That's why I show my love by changing your oil. And, you know, he named a few things, and I thought, oh, my gosh, changing my oil. I thought about the greasy kid at the Jiffy Lube. Yeah, you know, yeah. I thought, there's nothing between me and Jiffy Lube boy. I mean, I never saw this as an act of love.
Yeah.
So it was a real eye-opening kind of thing for us. The danger is this. If you think, though, that you're, you know, now that your mate knows your love language, it really does not mean you're going to.
Yeah.
Is that going to change?
That part's not the instant fix. Not at all. Well, my co-host's issue was that we had his wife take the test, too, and hers came back as physical touch. But he's like, that chick wants nothing but stuff. Like, I don't know why she literally bought something for herself saying I gave it to her as a Valentine's present. You know what I mean? On the way, you know, when I was on the way here, you know,
He's thinking she's all about gifts.
Right. And I think that's what I was trying to explain to him. I'm like, well, what if she was honest or what, you know, why not try it? You know, because she also said to, I feel bad because he's not here, but.
I know. Let's pick on him really bad.
I do think it can help. Like, and then we'll get into maybe, I don't know if this is wrong. You tell me, because here's the way I kind of process things is that
I won't know either, but we'll
try and we'll fake it. And we'll edit it out if not, but no, is that I think that what helps people that listen to this show is that we kind of talk about our experiences and through some way that either A, relate or B, they're completely opposite and they can do the exact opposite. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't want it to feel like I'm starting to feel like I'm taking advantage of your services for my co-hosts and my like marriages or whatever.
It's all right.
It is honestly from a perspective of saying, well, I don't know everybody's, you know, issues or whatever. But we'll talk about what we have going on. And through that, maybe it can help teach a few people. And then anybody else is interested, maybe they can do. You do like a webinar series too, right? Am I wrong or?
Oh, they're downloadable, like a membership area where people have these follow along videos that help them clear their sexual energy. It's not like somebody asked, are they full of nudity? It's like, Lord, no, it's just me. No one wants to see me naked, I promise.
It's really funny knowing that you're just a good, wholesome girl from Tennessee.
Yeah,
you know
Tessera.
What I mean? Doing some kind of HBO real sex hippie show.
That's right.
On the internet, like,
sex for the real girl, flat chest, cellulite.
You in some scantily clad outfit while your husband's changing oil in the background. This is how we show love.
Exactly. I'm so boring, you know.
Exactly. But, but he actually had his wife come to him and say that she goes, I'm mad at you because I want you to be closer to me. And he was like, what kind of weird, crazy statement is that? Like, how can you start off with I'm mad at you and then also have the expectation for, you know, you to be closer? Is that something that I was kind of hoping that you being a woman could help a man brain process that and say, well, this is what that may mean kind of thing.
What she's saying is I don't feel loved.
Right.
So since when we don't feel loved, we're like, and the crazy thing is, that we put that on our mate to make us feel loved, to make us feel whole, to make us feel happy. And it's just It's dangerous to do that. And it's just really normal, too. It's exactly right. You know, we'll look at stuff. And, you know, my husband and I kind of had a little blowout last night. And every time if something is kind of rocky, I'll say, yeah, good thing I'm the sexy marriage girl. I think I'm the only transparent sexy marriage girl. Like, some days it sucks.
I need you to leave. I'm going to go tap on my face for about 20 minutes. It might take me 4 hours, but you better stop pissing me off.
Oh, I know. It's like, just say something nice. So yeah, it is. It's this weird. We have our own emotions and we don't always understand them.
Yeah.
You know, as a woman, and they vary from week to week. Something might really trigger us, make us angry one week that didn't another time. So basically, the most basic need that everybody has is to feel loved and connected. And we come at it from different directions. That's partly why sex can be a challenge. You know, women, we want to feel all emotionally connected usually before we start opening our legs and have all this sexual energy. Yeah. And very often the fellas are kind of the opposite. You know, their energy, when they're connected sexually, they're like, oh, I love you. You even alluded to that earlier.
It's a weird thing that I never was aware of as a guy. Like, it's almost like embarrassing, to be honest, because it makes me feel like I'm a simple monkey. Like, you know?
Yay!
Because people make fun of me on the show all the time because in my interactions with my wife, like, I'm more interested in, like, I get angry and frustrated and I need to talk things out. Like, I need to process the feelings. I need to make sure that she understands me, which is kind of what I would consider, I don't know if you would agree, but kind of more of a feminine approach.
Feminine energy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right?
That's all right.
And
all
I've right. literally had this argument with my wife where I'm upset with her and she just got tired and she just was like, can we just make up and have sex already? And then... And I was like, and I said, no, because I'm upset. And then when those words fell out of my face, I go, and by the way, do you know how emasculating that is that I have to say that as the man here that you just want to just like, let's just screw and be happy. Like, you know what I mean?
It's not that uncommon, though. It's really very common for the one partner wants to just have makeup sex and make it feel better. And the other one wants that clarity. And it's not really that unusual for it to be the man.
Right.
It feels like you do. Well, you're not that abnormal, dude.
I joke about it because it is funny, but I get it. Like, I'm not completely emasculated, but I do think it has to do with your background. Like, we've talked about it a lot recently with having kids and that my wife's parents, they kind of like what I'm guessing your husband was kind of saying, and that they didn't talk about feelings. They didn't talk a lot. There was a lot of honest to goodness, like animosity within the house. Mm-hmm. Like now they're in their twilight years and they don't even sleep in the same room anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
So yeah, they've had a complete erosion of intimacy and now it's built into this like calcified barrier that's what's comfortable for them. You know, and I just couldn't imagine living that life. Whereas my parents were very, you know, they could get hot-headed at times and just start, you know, literally cursing each other out. And it's weird that as a kid, I never saw that as trauma. Like, as much as I wasn't happy about it, but I always perceived it, well, at least they care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're passionate enough to get angry at each other as opposed to just shutting down and being indifferent to each other's presence in their lives, you know, which I think is important, don't you think? Or...
Absolutely. That's cool that you realize that it was actually more healthy to.
Well, it works as much as that's the other part of it. It works unless you marry somebody whose parents didn't talk to each other, in which case you're just an annoying pain in the ass who won't shut up, you know?
Oh, how funny. Well, we all have stuff, you know, that's the beauty I think of marriage and monogamy is just working all the times that we work through that kind of stuff. We come up higher and we're closer and we grow and it all stretches us. It all, anytime we put ourselves in a place that's kind of uncomfortable, where we're vulnerable, where we have to reveal something new, that's where the erotic energy actually is. So it's cool in a way.
Yeah. I want to talk about this idea, and I know that I'm putting you on the spot a lot, and I know this isn't an easy thing, but I'm having fun so far.
Sure.
You doing good? You having
sure.
fun? All right, good.
Oh, yeah.
Is that I want to talk, like, how often do you see this issue? Because a lot of the people that respond to the episode I said they felt the same way. How often do you see this issue where your kids kind of become this block for your own intimacy? Is that a common thing or?
Well, it was common to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is so common. And fatigue right now is the biggest killer of sex drive and intimacy. And, you know, in our case, we just didn't have, I felt like we had no money when the kids were little. Mm. And so, you know, people would say, well, make sure you have a date night once a week. And I think, yeah, with all $20 left in the checking account, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. Yeah. And so then I'd have all that resentment and scarcity kind of build up. And so then I just, the worst thing is feeling kind of a sense of self-pity, but it's just so common. So at some point one day what struck me was how much I thought, wow, it would be so sad to look back at these years when the kids are so adorable and regret that I spent it all uptight.
Yeah.
You know? So I tried to, you know, the days of being uptight became longer and the uptight days would be fewer. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I certainly wasn't in a straight, like, whoa, I'm instantly the happiest mother of children.
Yeah. But I'm not shaving my armpits anymore, and I've burned all my bras.
That's right. And we're so happy all the time. And
let's finger paint the walls, children.
Yes, let's. And when you have friends that are just, oh, they're so in, their marriage is so dazzling, and they do all the date nights, and they have the great vacations. If times are kind of tight for you, that's hard. You get jealous.
Yeah. Which just compounds to it. And so do you have any advice that you could offer? Like, because to me what that says is, you know, well, can you do a date night without it being like where you spend money? And
absolutely.
That's the solution. Maybe just like go on a walk or something, or even with.
Yeah. You know, when my husband was deployed with his Navy reserve unit just recently, he's been back about 8 months, but it was the first time in all these 20 something years that we'd been apart. And I could not believe how much 15 minutes on the webcam mm-hmm. meant to us, just to talk. And I remember thinking, what if I always treated him like that? Webcam would ring doo doo doo, and the whole world would stop, and I'd give him my attention and he'd give me his attention. 15 minutes. I remember telling him, you know, when you come home, I'm going to make you sit in the sandbox with your laptop, because you're not going to do this anymore. Yeah. So I would say just 15 minutes a day. Just try to come up with a way that you can give each other your undivided attention. You know, just say, this is a sacred time for us. I love the idea of going for a walk, going out by the lake. If you do have friends that you can swap, you know, maybe date nights twice a month instead of once a week, maybe just swap.
Yeah.
You know, we'll watch your kids, those little devils of yours, and you watch our angels.
It'll... That's a smart idea, where you could do like a little parenting co-op. Like,
yeah, because sometimes those young years are lean, you know. And then later, when my kids were old enough to babysit here in Tennessee, and they'd come home with, you know, $50 for a few hours, I think, see, I knew I couldn't afford it.
yeah, it's insane. Like, I don't even think my dad paid the neighbor girl. Like, he used to baby. My grandparents lived near, so I was always over there. But, like, our babysitter, you know, it's expensive. Like, it's not
exactly.
Easy. It's not a part-time job. And we've joked.
It's more than minimum wage.
Oh, I pay three times minimum wage. Like, it's horrible.
No,
like,
exactly.
My babysitter drives a Mercedes. So I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is. Exactly. This is wildly, grossly inappropriate now.
It's so wrong. I'm telling you.
That's hilarious.
So what, one thing would be fun is with your spouse, make a list of stuff that would be fun for you. You know, watching high school sports, maybe. That's mm-hmm. cheap. You know, going to the lake, renting a rowboat, hiking, training for a 5K together. I mean, it's just stuff that gets you. I know, sounds like hell, but some people like that.
No, you're right. It's just funny from a chubby guy. Like, that's when that's my visceral reaction to exercise. Like, ha, 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 that's hilarious. Oh, she was being serious. My bad. I didn't know. There are people that do that, that look way sexier than I do. And probably feel a lot better too. I really like that's a really, because here's what that makes me the point that you made about talking to your husband on the webcams, that really resonates with me, because I travel for my job, and I really I recently realized, and I realized through talking to you, I've processed it incorrectly, because I was thinking that the reason why I was so unhappy and noticing all this lack of intimacy within my relationship with my wife, and I was doing like what you said, I was making the mistake of putting a lot of it on her. Like, I need this from you instead of trying to take care of myself. And I'm working on that now, you know, but is that I'm like, oh, well, it's because I'm not working. It's because I don't get to go away. And part of the thing about my job that is the good and the bad is I leave my family. And as soon as I get on that plane, that first flight, I am missing home already and ready to turn around and come right back. I want a webcam with my kids. I want to talk to them. I miss them. My wife sends me pictures of them and little videos of them. And it just makes me feel happy and not so homesick. And yet, the minute I walk in that door, well, I'll be honest. I'll be fair. I give myself 30 minutes to an hour of being right back in it and in the thick of it. And it's like, oh, I just feel exhausted. Like, it just hits me like this humongous weight. And I do think there's something to be said, and tell me if you agree or disagree with that kind of mental manipulation, that you can kind of be aware that that's coming and go, that's not what I want to be. That's not the person I want to be for my kids. I want my life to be happy. Like, I would like, that's what I'm thinking right now. I'm in my 30s. Like, this is a good time in my life. I'm making more money than I was in my 20s. And, you know, I've got two beautiful kids. Like, it seems to be such a natural human thing to focus on the negative. And why not sit there and go, I'm happy, I'm home with my kids. Why not spend as much time as I can? And I hope I'm not driving the subject, but I think it's kind of part of my upbringing.
No, it's so common. I want to keep exploring it.
Yeah, is that like, it's an interesting thing to look back and think, what if, honest to God, what if my wife and I had the craziest sex all the time? You know what I mean? And not crazy. I'm not adventurous. You know what I mean? I've talked about that on the show. I don't want her to dress up as anything. I just want her to be my wife and take off her clothes. That's all I need, and that's enough.
Man, that's a nice order.
And so it's like, I don't need that, but it's like, you know, you spend so much time thinking about, you put up these blocks, these barriers, you know, like what you said. Oh, well, we could have a date night. Well, it's going to cost too much money, or, you know what I mean? Or, oh, well, I could do that. Well, he's not going to want to do that. Like, I could probably, honest to God, I really think I could have some time of 15 minutes with my wife every night, but I carry a guilt of another expectation. We have two other boys in my house, and it makes me feel like I'm the third one. And like, I feel like I'm the third person that she has to take care of. And not only is she the breadwinner in our family, you know, she makes far more money than I have. And she does it because she supports me in trying to pursue this dream or whatever. And so then I wrestle with that, because I noticed that one of the things you said on the website was that how you feel about yourself, it can be a huge issue. And so I think on some level that kind of, that hits me bad, where I'm like, I don't feel like I'm a man, you know, because I'm earning a paycheck and, you know, I don't spit in a bucket or, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know. I was just kind of babbling there. I'm sorry if I lost my train of thought, but I really think that the idea of that, when you said that, how horrible would it be to look back and be uptight? Like, why not just try to focus as much as you can on the good parts of your life? And have you found in your experiences that if you honestly make that simple of a mental choice to focus on the good and the happy in your life, that it does actually change your overall mood and mentality?
I am convinced it does. And, you know, I love this idea where you're kind of like almost tuning into this. Maybe I don't feel good about myself. Maybe I don't come in here just so full and so confident that I'm like, yeah, look what I've got something. I'm going somewhere. Things change when I get there. This is what I bring, all my masculine energy to my wife. There's a part of you that's just exhausted.
Yeah.
And so that's just so real. But the fact that you looked at that and said, hey, I have the power to maybe reframe how I look at it. That's so powerful. And I have a sort of funny example about several years ago. I was so irritable about all the driving around. I have four children. And so pretty much from the time
I'm such a pansy. I have two kids and I'm exhausted. You have four kids.
I know.
God bless you.
Oh my gosh,
woman.
When the twins were born, I used to bawl and bawl and say, I don't know what I was crying about before. You know, now I'm really miserable.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know I was having twins till they were born. Like, boom.
Wow.
It was very stressful. Oof. And so from 3 in the afternoon till late at night, pretty much, you know, we run them around, run them here, run them there. And I was so irritable because I'm trying to write articles and building my business and all this other stuff that I'm really passionate about. And there were times it felt like just the biggest pain in the butt to go put the kids in the car and drive around. And I remember being just so and they just expect my head to start spinning. I'm just mm-hmm. so irritable. And so when a great way to look at our problem is to ask what's great about this problem. And Tony Robbins kind of says that. Ask what's great about this problem. So we're in the car and I just scream, "What's so great about car time?" I'm not kidding. The kids all looked at each other and went, what?
I have a comfortable seat.
I said, "Mommy needs to know what's good about car time. You need to tell me or I'm going to always be crabby." And they're thinking, "Oh, Mom, the motivator." Mind you, I've been a motivational speaker for, you know, decades now.
Motivational speakers need help too.
That's right. Dear Lord in heaven. And so they just said, well, I don't know. We get to listen to music together. And as soon as my kid said that, the oldest one said that, I thought, you know, that is fun. You know, yeah. We listen to songs on the radio. We sing together. And someone else said, we just get to be together. We get to hear about each other's day. And we're kind of together because at home we all go our own directions. And I said, well, that's fun. And I said, what else? And they just started naming a few things that were cool about being in the car. And that was the most remarkable thing, because from that time on, I've never, ever minded it.
Yeah.
And it was a huge shift, and it was just one conversation. And so now we can be on a family trip, because now they're older. You know, the oldest one's in college playing baseball, and the 17-year-old, she'll be a senior next year and then play volleyball somewhere, and then the twins are 13. So they're older, and so everyone does kind of do their own stuff at home. So when we're in the car together, I love it, because we're all together. We can be in a traffic jam on a trip, and I'll be going, but we're together. I mean, I really love it.
That's interesting. It's real, and I think, like, to me, also, what I was thinking when you're saying that is that it almost seems like you had a mental shift. Because here's what I deal with, with my kids being of toddler age, is that I feel like I'm constantly trying to parent them. I have a fear that if I stop parenting them, that they're going to grow up to be insufficient in some stupid way. And hearing you talk about that, I'm like, how dumb is that? Honestly, like, why not take a few moments? And we even talk about on the show where we say it's mostly about parenting. And I'm trying to lean it more towards about having that 20 minute. We talk about having 20 minutes, 25 minutes at least with your kid, where it's just you and your kid doing what your kid wants to do. You know what I mean? Having that personal time. And I'm like, right now I'm craving that with my wife, you know?
Yeah.
But what I've also learned has helped kind of affect my and change my mood in a better place is that I stopped worrying about parenting them and just being a person near them. And I can talk to them about whatever they're thinking about. And they're toddlers. They say some of the most hilarious and adorable, honest things in the world. And it's fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? It is a little bit of a, I have to snap out of that parent mode and just be a guy in a van with my kids and live in that moment and be present, I guess. Yeah.
Gosh. Yes. And that is awesome, because I can speak to that now, because I had those twins and just plummeted into postpartum depression.
Oh,
you know, it's the best idea we never had now. Yeah. But at the time I was so overwhelmed. We thought, how are we going to do this? And so I quit my job. We moved back to Spokane, Washington, and we're raising these babies. And I was so overwhelmed for those first several years. I literally just parked them. I did everything wrong is what I'm telling you. I parked them in their pumpkin seat in front of a TV, and I'd cry. And it's a wonder I didn't, overeat and do drugs or whatever. and so my best friend told me, you know, Gina, I wrote my thesis on this, and it really is terrible to let your children watch this much television. I say this because I love you, Gina. You know, 1 hour should be the max, not 12.
Which is always what you want to hear in the middle of a depression.
Exactly. And here's what happened. The older two kids were really sharp and really bright. And the younger two, when they were three, they didn't talk. Like they had one syllable. They spoke in monosyllables, and they'd get so frustrated they'd bang their head on the floor. And I thought, oh, okay, this is what I've taught them with my genius parenting abilities.
Yeah.
So they even got to go to preschool on the short bus. And I felt horrible. So I'm studying and studying everything about what do I do now? Because I've obviously screwed up my children for life by neglect. And every single thing I read said, children who know that they're loved catch up. And I'm telling you, they're 13th. They're in the 90th percentile in their whole academics. They have all kinds of awards. They are fine. They're happy.
Yeah.
So all the time when we look back, you know, we were the parents that were going to do flashcards and teach our babies to read and do sign language and have Renaissance children. And it wasn't meant to be. And all four of them are you know, the older ones have scholarships out the yin yang. I mean, we did everything wrong except loving them.
Yeah. And just, I could definitely relate to that, that it's, and I've tried to break out of the routine, even though the routine is really important to me. I've talked about this where it's like, if I snap out of that routine and just go, you know what? Sure, somebody's going to get a little overtired and maybe there's going to be a crying fit, but everybody's going to have a really good time for the next hour and a half while we're at the park and we're outside in the sun. You know, that's definitely what we all need right now. And as long, because the first time I did it, I'm like, see, this isn't fucking worth it because you're losing your mind right now. And then now I mentally prepare myself that we could have a fit. And then when there's no fit, double bonus. Everybody's happy. We all got it done, you know, so that's nice.
That is nice because I wouldn't take my twins anywhere because when it was time to leave, they'd throw a fit because they wanted to stay wherever. And I couldn't physically carry both of them crying and kicking. So they never went anywhere.
Yeah. Well, and I personally battle a lot with this issue of I feel guilty for my oldest son because even when he was a baby, we'd go on hour long walks outdoors, you know, and we would go do stuff and he likes to be outside. But it's just really hard with the baby. And I know that once I don't have to worry about breastfeeding, that I feel like the world opens up to me. You know what I mean?
And is the baby still nursing?
Yes. So my wife comes home. My wife comes home for lunch and she pumps, you know, and then she goes right back. And so I went through a similar thing with when my first son, Jacob, was when my wife went back to work and I became the stay-at-home parent when I wasn't on the road. And it's this weird thing as a guy. I don't know how many stay-at-home dads we have that actually listen to the show. I think it's mostly moms, but maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, it's this weird fight that you get angry. I got angry. I keep saying you, and that's wrong. I get angry. I got angry about because I sat there and I go, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is she's supposed to take, and then that adds to my feeling of I'm not a man providing for my family because I can't make enough money. I could go get a job, but I was trying to do this thing of stand up and so it really would like make me frustrated because I'm like, I'm not supposed to have to feed the baby. Like, you have to do it. This is later on, I will take care of this kid till the cows come home. But this is something I am biologically not prepared to do. And I thought I was failing my kid in some way, shape or form. But in actuality, they all come out like what you said. They come out fine.
Yeah.
You put so much pressure, which I think also starts to weigh on the intimacy within your marriage and other relationships in your own life. And if you just learn to kind of lighten up and relax and everything kind of works itself out in the long run, I guess. I don't know. That's what I'm hoping for right now.
I so believe that it does. And you're right. I say that there's five keys to really great sex, like whether you're in the mood or not. Mm-hmm. And let's see. That is just a huge one. Feeling good about yourself. Because sex is so, you know, it's us being so transparent and vulnerable and bringing ourselves completely naked to our partner. And if we don't like what's there, we just want to, you know, shut down and back off instead. So anything we can do to make ourselves just be reassured and just that we're fine. We're fine. We're beautiful. We're sexy, just like we are.
Yeah.
So,
I want to kind of touch on that because I think we've talked about it a little bit on the show, but not a lot, is that I think I found it's very common. I actually have a joke about it in my stand-up act that women get crazy self-conscious about their bodies after they have a child. And I don't know. I'm curious to see how many times I really find it hard to believe that I know that there are assholes in the world and that there are shitty husbands and all of that stuff. You know what I mean? And I think there's a subgroup of those guys that are shitty that they don't know that they're being shitty, like because of they don't have the tools that they don't process. But like, my wife got really self-conscious about her body, as I think all women do, or the majority maybe, after the pregnancy. And I told her, I'm like, no, you don't understand that I'm a guy and I like you a lot. You know what I mean? There's something about touching. I don't need a 22-year-old playmate. You know what I mean? That's not my thing, you know? And I'm not necessarily trying to say that all men don't find... There's a reason why that's a magazine that's been around for a long time, obviously. Yeah. But I do think that there is a... I could say this from a male standpoint, that there's a misunderstanding of what is attractive for a guy. That I'm not looking for a tight body and a 22-year-old person. Like, that is weird to me. That's awkward for me, to be honest with you. Like, I like the fact that my wife looks like a mom. She looks like a woman that I've had, you know, we've had children together. That's, you know, as much as it's weird, and I don't know, I'm sorry if I'm being, but it's like, I feel like the fact that she gets a little saggy, you know what I mean, is just a sign of the life that we've lived together and the history that we have together, as opposed to it being an unattractive thing, you know what I mean? And I know without a shadow of a doubt, I've seen myself in the mirror. I'm not more attractive. You know what I mean? I didn't come out of high school and get more Ryan Reynolds-esque. That's not how my life has gone, you know? So I find it odd. And, so I guess what I'm trying to, is that a common thing for women to get weirdly self-conscious inappropriately in your experiences?
Very much so. And I love all the women are listening to you going, oh, you know, because that's so encouraging. And some of the women listening are saying, not my husband. I was 110 pounds when we got married, and he wants me 110 pounds now. That's what he fell in love with. And that is very painful. And so it's so beautiful to hear you say that. And yet most husbands really do just want to see their wife be able to be turned on at their pleasure, you know, that they're able to turn her on and bring her pleasure, that she feels strong and confident, and to look at it that way, that look at, we've built this together. We've built this family together. Every stretch mark is a trophy, girl. It's not a flaw.
Yes. So I guarantee you, stretch marks, National Geographic boobs and all, your man comes home and you're wearing nothing but an apron or his shirt and it is on like Donkey Kong. I will guarantee that.
I love that.
Every man would be into that. So here's another thing, though, that I think is a less commonly known issue that I kind of wrestle with, but not a lot, but is... Like, what do you say to the guys that feel kind of self-conscious about themselves? Because it's a less common known issue. You know what I mean? For a guy to get kind of flabby, we're like, well, I'm a man. I'm supposed to lose weight. There is no biological reason for me to look different other than I really like donuts. You know what I mean? So,
I'd say ask. If it's a guy, ask your wife. Say, do you find me, you know, less attractive at this weight? Just ask. Because you might be surprised when she says, gosh, no.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe she says, I just want to see you have the energy that I know you have. You know, so maybe there is something there. But I think just ask, do you, and for the gals too, because I know back to my husband, you know, coming back from the Gulf, and he's been just really, really fatigued and really stressed. So his drive is a little bit lower, which in a way is nice because now we got the same speed. But I remember one time being really insecure, and I said, are you turned off by my body because my butt's gotten a little bigger? And he just looks at me like, what?
Are you insane? Yeah, no, that's a good thing.
Exactly. It's like, no, but I needed to hear it because I was in the, you know, looking in the mirror going, oh, this butt, it's terrible. So sometimes just ask and hear the response.
Well, and to me as a guy, and I know I'm really throwing you on the spot here, but it's I think that's a hard jump to make because you do have this need for a sense of bravado, a sense of confidence, and that's a very vulnerable thing that a lot of guys, even though I'm completely transparent, even on this podcast with my emotions and my thoughts, but I would wrestle with the idea of kind of coming to my wife and, you know, I cried at Real Steel. But I would still look at my wife and I would go, hey, do you find me attractive? Like, that would be an all new low for me. Is there a way that we can kind of manipulate mentally to where, I mean, is it just a means to an end? Is that the answer? Like, how much is it worth to you? What the result is going to far outweigh that little moment of vulnerability? Or,
you know, a woman is attracted to a guy that's vulnerable.
Really?
So I don't think she would see that as weakness.
Okay.
Especially because every single woman struggles with it.
Ah.
So because the media is so brutal to us.
That's,
you know, we pass by the magazines that show the best and worst bikini bodies. It's like, guess who this is? Guess who this is? And you're thinking, now how'd they send the paparazzi to photograph me?
Well, I never thought
right
of
there,
that.
Cellulite and all.
You know what's funny? I'll tell you, as a guy never looks at that and sees like the worst body and looks at it and goes, that looks just like my wife. I don't think any man ever makes that connection at all. Like, oh my gosh, my wife totally does have cottage cheese thighs. Like, I don't think that ever in that situation. I mean, maybe I find it hard, you know, to even, I don't know. I hope that there are more guys out there like me, because it would be really sad for me to have the realization that there are honest to God men who have been with women that have had children with them and look at them and have this expectation that you are going to look like Kate Upton for the rest of your life, because that is grossly inappropriate. And I believe, and you tell me, I mean, in your experience, I believe that it is more often a situation where I think the woman puts that pressure on herself, that the husband is completely stupid man brain monkey, unaware, completely oblivious to what's going on.
I think that is so true. And so these wives will say, I'm not having sex until I lose 30 pounds. You know, and the husband's like, hey, why are you punishing me? Because I really like your 30 pounds.
Right.
Yeah, it is remarkable. In fact, I have a program called the Sexy Marriage Solution. There's a shameless plug. And we deal with that really on a cellular level, changing our self-image from I'm so fat, I'm unsexy, to wow, I am like a goddess. Yeah. You know, I am flowing with sexual energy just like I am.
You know, again, this seems like kind of inappropriate, but I think, and I'm interested what your opinion is of this, is that I think as a guy, like the idea of me hanging, my wife has kind of done something similar to it, like, you know, to that kind of stuff, but nothing like this, you know, but sure. That, which if she did, it would be incredibly awesome, to be honest. But I think honestly, like if it's harder with kids, I know. It's really weird talking to a woman on the show, so I apologize if I'm going to be inappropriate. I've never been really embarrassed about stupid stuff like this. But honestly, if she just, like, all of a sudden whipped out a boob and was like, hey, get a load of that, like, I would kind of, like, be like, oh, well, hey, whoa, what's, like, that's an awesome, awesome thing for a guy. Like, and I think that a woman wouldn't really have that approach. Is it, do you think that the idea of doing that would seem demeaning? Because here's what I think. I think... from a man's perspective, that the idea of doing that would elicit the reaction from him that would make you honestly believe how sexy you are. Like, you know what I mean? It's a weird kind of maybe societal vulgar thing. But if you see your man's eyes pop out like cartoons, you know what I mean? When all of a sudden you give him just a little bit of skin, then it's like, oh, like that's a snap quick way for you to all of a sudden go, oh, yeah, he's really into me. Am I wrong? Like,
no, and that was given as advice from one of those books, you know, The Sex-Starved Wife or The Sexless Marriage or something, where the author encourages the wives to do that. She says, you know, sometime just walk by your maid and lift up your shirt and fondle your own breasts and then walk off.
Wow, yeah, that would be an awesome end of the day.
It is awesome.
Or beginning of the day.
I do that. I'll just flash my husband all the time because it's so cute. I love his response. He'll always go, yay. It's so funny.
Nice.
And when he was in the desert, I remember we were just talking on the webcam, but he's like, oh, shoot, I got to take this phone call. You know, this is Lieutenant Paris. That was a perfect time to flash him because he had to be all serious. And I'm like, and he'd silently go, okay. Yeah, you know?
And I know for a fact that you made him a very happy man.
Absolutely. God, come on, gals. If it takes so little to make him happy and it makes us feel back in touch with our power again, holy cow, that's a good thing.
That's a big move. So here's the thing. I kind of want to wrap it up, but I kind of think it would be fun. Again, I keep putting you on the spot, but it's going great. I think I'm really happy with this. Good.
I know you're so less uptight than some shows I've been on. Wow.
Oh, good.
This is great.
Good. All right. So I kind of want to walk through a little bit of like scenarios that I imagine are common scenarios that people struggle with or wrestle with. You know what I mean? So I feel like we're just there. We hit on one of my ideas of, you know, the stay-at-home mom who feels like she, you know, she's comfortable in sweats. And I know that, like, my wife read this book, The Proper Care and for the Proper Care and Feeding of a Husband, I think, Dr. Laura Schlesinger's book.
Yeah, I haven't read it. Did she like it?
She liked it.
It's pretty polarizing. You either really like it
or... Yes. My mom was the one who gave it to her, which is weird. But it essentially says that men need to eat and men need to have sex. And that if you want to keep your man happy, then get out of the sweats, put some makeup on, and make yourself look nice. And while I agree with the sentiment and the understanding of it, I do really think that I don't think that that's completely necessary. Like what we talked about, I think a simple boob, I don't care what you're wearing. I think a simple flash, I don't care if you haven't touched makeup or bathed that day. There is something that there's a reason why 8-year-old boys look at National Geographic magazines.
Oh, that's right. That's funny.
So I think that it's that. I think that that would be a solution. Do you have any other thing that you think that is a glaring issue that we'd be missing for that, you know, stay-at-home mom who spends all day with toddlers and kids and driving around to gymnastics to feel sexy and to get, like, feel like she can elicit a nice reaction from her spouse?
Yeah, I think it's up to her what makes her feel good. Because I also wear sweats every day and right. I think, you know, maybe this isn't the best thing. So maybe if I know I'm wearing the undergarments that make him happy, or if I just sometimes I'll throw on a sundress instead and I feel way more beautiful. It's like, hey, yeah. So it's what makes us feel beautiful, because remarkably scientists have noticed that the human female is the only species that's aroused by her own pheromones. So that's why you look at Maxim and you look at Cosmo, and both covers have the cleavage. It's like, wow, we're kind of weird. We like to look at our own gender to get aroused.
I thought that actually yesterday in the airport, I stopped by one of the magazine things. Because sometimes I like to pick up a woman's magazine as like an idea for a joke or something like that. And I'm looking at all the covers and I go, this is weird. There is nothing but women in push-up bras on magazines for chicks.
Because we want to be that woman. We want to be sensuous and beautiful. We want to be the one that turns our husband's head and makes him say, whoa, baby. And none of us, it's like, it just so often doesn't feel real, you know?
Yeah.
But we like that. We want to feel sexually powerful. So it's a different kind of trigger.
Yeah.
And so we need to do what makes us feel good about ourselves so that we want to give that energy.
Yeah.
So whatever
they feel comfortable in. Let's talk about like maybe the idea of both couples work a lot. And so you do have that issue. Then you come home and you have the kids, you know, even though they're in a daycare situation. And so like fatigue is that problem. Do you have any pointers you could offer them?
You know, just to be sexual instead of just relegating sex to an act. Just be sexual, you know, stroke each other's bodies a little bit, you know, go for the 10-second kiss in the morning. And one thing we say is, here's the rules. Tell your mate, listen, I'm going to come in for a kiss for 10 whole seconds, and I'm just asking you to act like you like it. And ultimately, somewhere in this moments of kissing, you'll relax and you connect on this kind of erotic level. So just little things, touching each other more, being in touch with your sexual energy throughout the day, makes it not this big, huge act where you're going from, you know, PTA, whatever, you know, mom with baby puke and grime on your hip all the time,
which is very hot.
exactly. Where you just kind of, I'm feeling good and enjoy, celebrate the French kiss and celebrate the quickie, you know, just take the pressure off and just enjoy that energy together.
Okay. And then how about this? Cause I think this is also more of a common, or I guess traditional issue is that, you know, I'm a guy, I work for a living. I work a lot of hours and I come home. And as much as I love my children, I love my wife to death, but I need time to just not be right in it, okay? And also, I have this issue where it's like, I really would like to be able to have sex with my wife more. I know you talked about your first rule, which is to treat her like she's the most sexually adventurous woman that you know, kind of thing. Is that pretty much it that you found?
No. In reality, a lot of what you're touching on is the fact that when we are under stress, both men and women, our body takes what would become stress, sex hormones, you know, all that testosterone and estrogen and stuff that makes us hot and bothered and juicy. And it just turns it into stress hormones. We got cortisol and stuff that's stupid.
So there's actually a biological reaction that's going on that suppresses your testosterone or even your estrogen levels for women, I would imagine, that makes you...
And testosterone. Yeah, we need testosterone to get horny.
Oh, even women do? Is that true? Or
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really interesting. I had no idea it was a biological thing. So it's almost like a weird sexual form of diabetes where you don't have...
I know.
You need an insulin.
Where's the shot? Yeah. Where is the shot?
You need some sort of insulin. My shot would be my wife flashing me. That's my opinion.
Oh, that's what's so remarkable. Men can have sex under, you know, and see it as stress relief. And a lot of women need the stress taken off. And so... that's so cool that you and your spouse can connect. Cause I just had a reader write to me and say, my husband works, you know, on away so often, and I am stressed out of my mind taking care of the whole house. And when he comes home, he wants me to be this roaring sex kitten. And I'm so resentful that he doesn't help take the stress off of me. So boy, I think for one thing, just communicating these needs. But if when we understand, oh, she's not just trying to ignore me and withhold and be manipulative. She just literally doesn't have arousal flowing in her veins. But if I help with the dishes and I help with whatever, then she's able to relax more and become aroused. So anything we can do to take stress off of each other and learn to handle stress ourselves makes us more in touch with that erotic energy.
Yeah, I know that I'm not like an expert at all, but like I really do strongly believe in that idea, because that was kind of my next question to pose to you, is that I think that there's a big issue where when there is an issue, there's a little bit of I don't want to be the person who has to accommodate because I need something. And I feel like if you can snap out of that moment and realize if I'm just a tenth or just take 2 inches to be accommodating, I will get more back. And then it's like then you start to get this almost tennis match of helping each other and working with each other. But somebody has to be the person to you know, to do the thing that needs to be done. And maybe like what you've kind of already hit on, too, is that if you have to be the person to talk about it, at least to you know, talk about the elephant in the room and what's going on from a non-angry place. Like, why won't you hump me? Like, you know, it's such a weird thing to be enraged about, you know?
Every month we would have that same fight and I'd start bawling, you know, and this is why I didn't want to bring it up, he would say, you know. But when husbands give non-sexual affection, that goes a long way as well. Yeah. You know, so reducing stress, giving non-sexual affection, so the wife feels like a whole person and not an object.
Because I do think like what you said is that I do think men feel also a lot of pressure. Feel a lot of pressure for performance. Like if I'm tired, I'm like, well, what if I can't, you know, not necessarily rise to the occasion. I didn't mean that to be pun intended, but like, what if, you know, I can't hold out long enough, you know, to make sure she enjoys it as much as I, you know, do. And you get this weird thing. And like I think you said is that idea of a quickie, I think, and I don't know, as I think that, wouldn't you say that women enjoy the kind of, you know, eroticism of just a quickie and being so needed and desired? Is that fair to say that even if they don't have an orgasm, they're still comfortable with it?
Well, some do, absolutely. And, you know, of course, some probably don't. They think it's always about him.
Yeah, if you're on a four-month stretch, that's a lot different, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So anything, if you can get, though, where you're both, you know, orgasming, that just releases so much oxytocin, which is that bonding hormone that a nursing mother releases that bonds her to her baby. It floods your body and it literally makes you feel so much closer. And the beautiful thing about a sex drive is kind of the more you use it, the more primed it is to be used. So for a lot of us gals, it means just starting when there's just no desire and just learning to relax and relax into pleasure.
All right. This is going great. I'm going to go one more question, and it's going to be a little edgy. Are you okay? All right.
Sure.
Because here's what I think. I think that there's a common complaint. This is a show for dads, even though we have a lot of moms that listen, but they listen to get some form of insight into the male brain. That's what I think a lot of them like about the show.
Absolutely.
And I think there's a common issue with oral sex. Like, men love blowjobs. They're humongous fans of them. And there's a lot of ladies, not all, but there's a lot of ladies that are not fans at all. Do you have any, is that common that you've experienced too, or?
Yeah, that the number two fantasy, if you were to poll 1,000 men, on average, the number two fantasy is he wants oral sex.
Wow.
Do you know what the number one fantasy is?
No.
He just wants sex with his wife. I think that's so sweet. What's your number one fantasy? Sex.
Sex.
With my wife.
Number two, sex in a different way.
And, yeah. So I don't know why there's the hang up. We can kind of just talk about that. Some women are afraid of, you know, they don't know if things are clean or if it just seems gross or it reminds them of porn or what. But I think when we come at that towards our mate, knowing that giving and receiving orally is just so off the charts, pleasurable and erotic, that it really does, it, you know, come on, gals, you've got to know that if you are giving your husband a great blowjob, he'll just nearly worship you.
Yes.
I mean, that's remarkable.
I've seen it happen to my brother. Me personally, I'm not a humongous fan of them, but my brother literally will build a mountain.
Isn't that funny?
It's a weird motivator for him. Yeah.
Oh, so it's worth asking. You know, ask, do you love this? Is this your favorite thing or just something you want to incorporate into our repertoire?
Yeah.
So, you know, women do ask me, how do I get over my aversion to oral? Would probably be, you know, acknowledge that maybe you don't like it, and then accept yourself, and then just, you can make a choice. But I choose to be open to it. I choose to look at what's cool about it. I choose to give myself here and receive pleasure here, and you know, maybe learn something together and explore each other together, and know that inside that marriage, that's like your own secret garden. You know, yeah. This whole sexual thing, I'm so pro monogamy. I believe that's what sets that relationship apart from everyone else. So just let it be all yours to explore and have fun with and please each other.
Awesome. Well, this has been absolutely outstanding. I cannot thank you enough. Again, if you want to listen to our podcast, it's Sexy Marriage Radio, available on iTunes. Or you can find out about her tons of audio products at winningatromance.com. Am I right on that?
Yeah. Come to Winning at Romance. We've got free stuff there that have 5 keys to really great sex tonight, even if you're never in the mood.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You can follow her on Twitter at Gina Paris. The last name is spelled with two R's, just like the city in France, but with two R's. thank you so much, Gina. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm sure many listeners will be contacting you with even more questions that they may have. Is there a place via Twitter? Is that the best place for them to contact you, or via the website?
Yeah, I'm so reachable at all of those. Winning at Romance has a Facebook page, Winning at Romance, that website. I pretty much try to answer everything. I really do love the feedback. So,
fun. I did see one of the comments on the website, which I agree wholeheartedly. Is like, she was like, "This." I think it was a girl's name, which I was like, "Thank you so much for what you do." Like it was. I put that extra tone into it because I was just reading text, but I just imagine it being like, "Oh my god!"
Like, you know what? Honestly, I get emails all the time. This is my favorite because, like I said, it's way more comfortable for me just to work with baseball players on a hitting slump or whatever. So this was really outside my comfort zone. But when I get emails from people that say, "Man, sex has been an issue in our marriage for a long time, and your stuff has just set us free," it's so rewarding.
I know, it's nice. That's what I like. When even though a lot of it's jokes, but we get people that comment. Say that, you know, you've saved my marriage because now I understand why my husband is doing what he's doing, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, which I think, or people that feel like they've become better parents, which is a weird side effect that we never intended at all. But it's very, very rewarding. So again, thank you very much, Gina Paris, for being on the show, and contact her via Facebook, Twitter at Gina Paris, all that stuff. And at winningatromance.com, where she has free content available where you can have sex tonight, even though you are not in the mood. Let's make it happen. Real quick, no real plugs. I just want to, number one, say I messed up. Joseph Bears won the Fantasy Football League Championship. Also, thanks to everybody who voted for me on the last comic sitting for the Clorox thing. The voting is open until March 25th. If you're listening to this episode later, if I made it through, then the voting will reopen again for the third Dad Challenge April 3rd and end on April 8th. If you're listening to this even later, the fourth and final challenge, if I made it through, is April 17th through April 22nd. Thank you guys so much for all your help. But enough plugs, because I don't want to ruin the mojo, because we just got sexy with Gina Paris. So I want you to go home, or if you're already home, go in the other room and lay hands upon your lovely wife or your even more lovely husband, because that's what's about tonight. On behalf of my good friend Gina Paris, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay sexy, y'all.